My name is Lainey Zuber, and you're listening to another interview from my project, 2020 Summer Stories. This interview features an anonymous participant.
We talked about her experience living on a college campus over the summer and her self-care practices.
I'm 21 years old, and I spent the summer in Worcester, Ohio. In May, they gave us 24 hours at the beginning of finals to move to our summer accommodation, which was ridiculous. And so I was living in Stevenson, which is one of the dorms, and I was there for the most part. I was there for the whole summer. What am I saying? And then I did an internship. So I took a class during the semester called Global Social Entrepreneurship. And it had an 8-week internship where we were supposed to go to India. But unfortunately, due to COVID, we couldn't go. So I did an 8-week remote internship working with a nonprofit called Enable India. We essentially had to create an assistive solutions network. So basically connecting developers and nonprofits and entrepreneurs of assistive solutions to users of assistive solutions, and creating a platform in which users could ask very specific questions and producers could, adapt their, inventions, to suit the people that they needed to help. So yeah, it was really cool. It was very stressful. Because India is 12 hours ahead of Ohio, I was working nonstop. I was working in another team, on a team of two. So it was me and this other girl. And luckily, we lived on the same floor. So it wasn't even though we're doing remote work, being close to each other made it so much easier. And yeah, it was really stressful. Half the time we were working, we'd wake up for 8 a.m. meetings, work all day, have meetings at 10, 11 p.m. and then probably work through the night and sleep by 5 a.m. and be up at 8 for it to start again. And there was times that we worked on the weekends, throughout the weekends too, because on Friday they'd be oh, you're presenting on Monday. But it was honestly a great opportunity, and I loved it, and I'm glad I got to do that during COVID. I'm glad I got to still get have my access to the same opportunities during COVID. But when I wasn't doing that on campus, it didn't feel like there was actually COVID because we were having a lot of there was almost only 200 students on campus, and we were all staying in the same three buildings, and everybody knew everybody. The school didn't have that many regulations in place. They didn't really care about us like that. And everybody was being safe. Everybody mm-hmm. that had been on campus for a while and was being sensible. So it was we had lots of little parties and hangouts, and we'd go on picnics together and stuff like that, because it was safe enough because there wasn't that many people. Everybody knew everybody. And yeah, but then school started and that died instantly. But yeah, that's mostly what I did. So I was in between doing my internship and then just spending time with friends on campus and trying to enjoy the summer in the middle of a pandemic.
First, I asked her to explain why she had stayed on campus.
Of course. So I had to stay on campus because I'm an international student. I'm from Ghana, but my mom lives in Switzerland and my dad lives in Ghana. So when everything happened, my parents were just having a student visa in the U.S., if I want to stay, apply for an extension on my visa next year when I get a job, I have to stay in the U.S. for a year, and I have to be, an active, student under my, visa for a year, so that in, February next year, I can apply to, leave the country after I graduate. So I couldn't, leaving the country wasn't necessarily an option for me, just because, if I left with COVID, we weren't sure if I'd be able to come back. And then Ghana shut their borders pretty early on. I think by mid-March, Ghana shut their borders. Switzerland shut their borders early March. Mm-hmm. So there really was nowhere for me to go. And in terms of family and friends, all of my family, I just felt going, I don't have any family members in the U.S. that I would want to go and stay with extensively for, like, you know, during a pandemic. I felt like I would be intrusive and, like, be in their space, and, like, it would just be weird. So staying on campus where I had my own space and I had my friends and, like, I had a job. It was the best option given the current circumstance. And staying on campus during the summer is actually not that bad because you don't have school stressing you out, so you can just like enjoy Worcester. And it's when Worcester is at its most beautiful, and trees and flowers, and it's just like good vibes.
Then I asked her how this distance affected her relationship with her family.
Yeah, like I think so my family's lived apart from each other most of my life. When I was 7, we moved to Kenya, and, like, my dad was here, and so, like, and my mom travels for work so much, and, like, right now, my brothers and I, like, we haven't lived in the same country for maybe 10 years. Like, so we're used to being apart from each other, and COVID kind of just, like, brought us closer, because we would have family calls 3 times a week, and, like, we would talk to each other all the time. I'd call my mom like every day, like twice a day. I think when we were all very isolated and alone, it was nice to like fall back on people and have like a support system that you knew you could fall back on. Sometimes it was kind of stressful because my parents were like, "You're not taking COVID seriously enough." I was like, excuse me? I was like, what? Because I wanted to go spend Thanksgiving with a friend. And she's like, "You can't leave campus. You're going to get COVID." Which I ended up being exposed to COVID on campus. But yeah, no, it was, I think, like, already being used to being so far away from each other. And then, like, COVID coming in, we already had, like, the foundations and stuff like that. So it was totally fine. But in terms of, like, conflict, I think, like, when there was, I mean, because there is always conflict with family. It's a given. And when there was conflict, it was nice to just, like, end the FaceTime call. Not gonna lie, just end the FaceTime call and just ghost for like a week. Yeah, no, but I think also like the distance gave room for like, I feel like my family got really close this year. Like we've already been super close, but like, I don't know, I think we got closer in like new ways, especially because like we forced, like my mom was like, "You have to call me every day." And like, I called my brothers every day too. Just because you never know, like literally somebody could die, like, okay, God forbid, that's horrible. But like any of us could have died in our like houses and nobody would have known for days on end. So it was like really important to like keep in contact, like constant communication, and just especially with like mental health. And like, I know I had a really rough time, like having my family be there and like keep me accountable was really helpful.
I transitioned back to talking about Worcester, and I wondered what it was like spending the summer in a small college town when so many different important events occurred all across the country.
It was wild, especially in 2020. I've spent a lot of summers, well, okay, a lot is relative, but I've spent like one other summer on campus out of the 3 summers I've been a Worcester student. And so like being on campus during breaks and stuff like that as an international student is like super normal. Like being in Worcester during the summer is not terrible because like that's the one time in the year where like it's nice out and you can go on walks and like there's all of these things happening downtown. Yeah, so it's like usually not bad, but this year it was ridiculous, like especially one election year. We're in like a red state in the middle of nowhere. The Trump supporters had so much energy. They just were Trump supporters with their chest in ways that like I was like, anyways, I'm not gonna get into that. It was just like wild to me. And then also like in the same, like seeing how politicized like COVID became, like being on campus, so Worcester's such like a bubble. And like the schools all like, "We care about you and we care about like, you know, inclusion and social justice." But like once you literally step out of the 4 walls of Worcester, once you're off campus, it's literally the exact opposite. Having like that dichotomy of like, on campus, it's like super inclusive and lovely. I mean, even campus has its problems, but comparatively, like compared to like the city of Worcester, it's very inclusive. And So it was just wild, especially like you said, with the Black Lives Matter stuff. I was like, that hit me really hard, not necessarily because of like the time. I think it was just like, it was very frustrating that now was when people decided they wanted things to like matter. Like it was very frustrating that it took like George Floyd's death for everybody to suddenly like be talking about Black Lives Matter and stuff like that. And I was like, yo, we've been, some of us been protesting, some of us been donating, like, because this is every day for us. Like, this is not just like something that you can post on social media or whatever. Yeah, so just, I think like this year I've just been hyper aware of all of like my identities, because in some shape or form every single part of my identity has been like, you know, challenged in some way, shape or form, like being a woman, being queer, being like an immigrant, being student, like everything, being Black, like every single level, it was like being attacked in some way. And like being like the number of times I got catcalled or just like made to feel very uncomfortable, like on the streets of Worcester this year was more than any other year. And so that was so annoying, so annoying. Yeah, there was like so many incidences of like security driving around and following us on campus, and like strange men like pulling up and like beside you, would not leave you alone, just be yelling at you and screaming all these things down Bell Avenue. It's the main road that goes through the College of Worcester. So yeah, it was, I would say, not the best time to be in Worcester, Ohio, for sure, hands down. But being on campus was definitely a very good, like, safety net. And, like, having people around me that were not, like, it was nice that I didn't have any, like, explicit racists in my inner circle. A lot of people realized that the people in their lives were very problematic. And luckily for me, like, the people who I thought were going to be problematic proved themselves. And so that was great. And, like, just having, yeah, like, staff members and faculty members and my host family, like, really being there and being, like, a support system and truly, like, making sure that I was okay and I had everything that I needed, that definitely did help me get through it. But I didn't realize, like, I'd spent that much time in Worcester until I left. I was like, I just need to get through this. So I played everything. I was like, okay, it doesn't matter. It is what it is. Get through it. You have to, because I was essentially supposed to be there from like January 2020 all the way till May 2021. Right. I was supposed to be there the whole time.
Right.
So I was just like, I can't overthink it. I just gotta suck it up.
Next, I asked her to go into more detail about her thoughts on the COVID guidelines she was asked to follow.
So when everything shut down, they were like, okay, Lowry's closed. They closed Lowry for like a few days. And then they said, okay, you have to wear a mask if you want to come into Lowry. And that was like essentially it. And Lowry was like all to go, no eating inside, which like was totally fine. The food, not great, but they tried. they tried, you know, we appreciate that. For so long, we had like no like information. They reduced swipe access. So you couldn't swipe into any other building. So you were definitely confined to your own building. And like, so during the summer when they gave us 48 hours, like I think it was like on Monday, they were like, hey, you need to move on Tuesday at this time. And I was like, yo, I have finals. Like what? And it was like, it was ridiculous because they increased the cost of spending, the summer housing cost by like 3 times the amount. So it was so expensive to stay during the summer, one. And they justified that by like saying, oh, we want to put all of you in like air conditioned dorms and in like space you out so that you'll like have enough space and like social distancing and whatever. Lies, because we were all tuna, like we were packed like sardines literally in the dorms. Like it was not, social distancing was not possible. There was no, like, no rules, no guidelines. Like, in August, the only, like, when all the RAs came onto campus, like, before, you know, RAs come in, like, 2 weeks before the semester starts for RA training. RAs are the resident assistants. And so they came on campus for training, and, like, that's when we also heard all of the news, like, all of the information. So, like, during the summer, they did not care about us at all. Like, none of the international students on campus, they did not care. We could have all died from COVID, and, like, nothing would have happened. Mm-hmm. There was one night one of my friends thought he had COVID and he was feeling very sick. And he called security. He's like, hi, I'm feeling sick. Can you drive me to the emergency room? And they're like, no, sorry, you have to figure that out yourself. But if you do have COVID, please let us know. It was like in the middle of the night and he was like, look, I can't call the ambulance because that will be like a, what, $3,000 fee for a 5-minute drive to the hospital. I feel like the school, I know they were doing their best and they were very stressed with like trying to figure out how the semester would go. But I think that they definitely did neglect a lot of the students on campus, given that it was like at the beginning when like very few of us like knew, you know, like what was actually happening. There was still a huge gap in information, I feel like, during the summer. You know, we knew like the basics of COVID, but I think like so many other little details like we didn't know. And I guess that's part of why the school like didn't have in place as many like resources and things as they could have. But yeah, it definitely felt like they just kind of didn't care. Like Lowry was open and that was it, which was fun for us as college students on campus during the summer. But during a pandemic, safety wise, they technically should have had. I didn't realize that until after the summer, where there was all of these restrictions in place. And I was like, wait, so you mean I could have died?
I asked her to tell me about what she would do with her friends and how, if at all, it helped her mental health.
So I did like a lot with my friends. We would like do movie nights. We would like go on walks. Like there was lots of like green places like open, and I think like a 5-minute walk off campus, there was these very rich people so kindly opened their very large estate to the paupers to go and chill there during the summer as like an outdoors, I call it the COVID rest area. And it was really cool. So we used to go there sometimes at like swings. It was just beautiful. Lots of like cooking. I definitely cooked a lot because I got like a little like hot plate in my room because my mom, as soon as COVID hit, my mom was like, okay, you need a rice cooker, you need a hot plate, you need like certain things, because I was like, I can't be going to cook in these communal kitchens that are one already gross normally. So I made a lot of like meals. I definitely sharpened my like cooking skill. It was fun. Like, I made pasta, I made like lots of salads, made some very extra sandwiches, made some soups. It was fun. It was great. Stir fries, lots of French fries also. And like towards the end of the summer, when like some people like in our bubble were leaving, like some were seniors who were graduating, others were like people who were going to see family members, like because they couldn't stay on campus anymore, we had like progressives. They were really fun. Like we'd plan it out and like just, I don't know, it was like really fun. Like we had like a whole community and we all had like our little rituals. Like everybody had like work or something that they were doing like during the day. But like by 4 p.m., 5 p.m., everybody was outside and we'd like just hang out. There's a bonfire. We'd just talk, play soccer, you know, just do like college kid stuff. Yeah. And it really felt like we owned the campus. Like there was no one there. And so we could go any and everywhere.
This led us to talking about what her self-care practices looked like over the summer.
I went on like almost like a minimum of like an hour walk every day. And those were amazing. Like just going by yourself and walking around campus. And like there was times where I get so stressed because of work. And I would like go and sit outside Calc and just cry in the trees. Like it was very therapeutic. And also, what else did I used to do? I definitely had like a lot of like spa nights. Lots of face masks and like, you know, just really taking care of myself, taking like really long showers, spending an exorbitant amount of time just like making myself feel pretty. I also like started drawing again. So that was fun. And like lots of coloring books. Yes. And Netflix. Netflix saved my entire, I could not have gotten through COVID.
I wanted to know, what had she been watching this summer?
I watched too much. That's the problem. I think I need to make a list of what I watched because I'm pretty sure I've watched over 100 movies and shows this year. Easily. I probably spent more hours watching Netflix that I have been asleep. I think, like, during the summer, the show that really stayed with me was Hannibal, because I was watching that, like, during the summer. And, like, so when I think about, like, shows during the summer, definitely Hannibal. It's kind of dark. And it's, yeah, I don't know. I like dark shows. And so watching something super dark in the middle of a pandemic seemed fitting. Netflix and Hulu both have shows about the pandemic, and they're both like, it's literally the same show, just by different shows. It's like called Love in the Age of COVID. I watched one episode and I was like, this is accurate. You really hit the nail on the head. However, too soon. I don't like for what's on TV to be relatable in my real life. It's supposed to be an escape.
I ended by asking about what other kinds of media she had consumed.
So I, like, in March, just started thoroughly hating Instagram. It just became very toxic for me. But Instagram is, like, my social media of choice. You know, everybody has, like, that one app that they're, like, addicted to. Mine is Instagram. And it just got so, so toxic. And so, like, it just was not it for me. So I would go on Instagram, like, maybe once every 2 weeks. So in terms of, like, I would know what was, like, happening in terms of, like, social media and stuff like that from friends and from, like, the one time I would go every 2 weeks. But, like, I was not super invested in it, like, the way everybody else was. It just became so overwhelming. And, like, I would see all these people that were still, like, making money during COVID and, like, killing it. And I was like, how? That's not me. I felt bad, and so I needed a break from that for sure. And, like, especially with all of, like, the fake news and stuff like that, I was like, this is stressful, watching people debate things that are common sense and things that should be common knowledge, and, like, politicizing, like, a pandemic where, like, people are dying, like, you can't, like, just very basic things that, like, it was frustrating to see on the internet. I listened to a lot of podcasts. That's how I kept, like, updated with, like, news without engaging with news. Like, I had two news podcasts, and then I just, like, listened to, like, everything else that was not related to, like, news or anything. I was trying to gain a lot of knowledge that had nothing to do with COVID. I was trying to, like, rekindle, like, passion. Also as, like, a form of procrastination, but I was listening to this podcast called I Said What I Said. It's very similar to Bobo and Flex. So the Bobo and Flex show, for the purposes of your eyes, is essentially, like, a critical thinking podcast. And, like, it's these, it's a South African living in Australia. A South African living in New York, and a Ghanaian Australian living in Australia. And, like, they basically just talk about life and whatever. And so I Said What I Said is very, very similar to that. It's very, like, it's two sisters talking about, like, love and life and, like, self-growth and spirituality and stuff like that. And each episode is different. I listened to this podcast called Afroqueer, which is essentially, I'm so glad I found it. It's just, like, sharing, each episode shares, like, a story about different queer stories or culture or, like, a historical, like, something to do with, like, a queer history around, like, the African continent, because that's very, like, that queer history is essentially erased or, like, vilified. So it was very nice to discover that. What else? I listen to The Economist a lot. Oprah's Super Soul Sundays. I love that podcast. So great.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to check out more stories at worcesterdigital.org/2020summerstories.